free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined tonight, September 21st, 2009, by David Wells and Alberto Feliciano from the Weather Rangers. I had David on the show Christmas Day 2 years ago talking about a weather modification technology he's come up with. Then the other day I got an email from Alberto, who has replicated David's device and said he's been regulating the weather from down in Puerto Rico, apparently helping to keep the hurricanes at bay this last season, and in the last couple of weeks bringing rain to drought-stricken Texas. In 1994, David Wells saw a presentation by Joseph Newman demonstrating a motor that allegedly put out more power than it consumes. David went home and built a machine. His shop was 12 miles from his home, and as he drove back and forth, he began to notice that when the sky was clouded over, there was some curious holes in the cloud cover over the vicinity of the machine. He then noticed that the effect would be reversed if he changed the position of the machine. He would draw in clouds and even rain. He began tinkering with the machine, modifying it and its position, observing effects on the weather. As of 2 years ago, he built over a dozen machines that he distributed to various people around the U.S. to try different effects. And in that time, they had noted over 1,000 different weather modification effects, noticing a very strong causal and effect relationship. The device can be built for less than $200, uses a 12-volt battery, and apparently even their more recent ones don't even require a battery. So after getting Alberto's email, I did a story about that on my PESN.com website the other day, and we started up a Weather Rangers group, a discussion group. And so tonight we are having them on the show to talk about the Weather Rangers. Dave and Alberto, welcome to the show.
Good to be on, Sterling. Been a while. A lot's happened since I talked to you last.
Yeah.
Alberto was the big thing. He replicated my device and put it to work, and the results are nothing short of fantastic. Anybody who knows anything about the weather knows that it shouldn't be quiet this time of the year, but it is.
Well, you know, I had noticed that. I've been thinking, I've been talking about hurricanes and whatnot. Usually you expect to see three or four major severe storms that come slamming ashore and wiping things out and causing, zillions of dollars of damage and whatnot. Especially after Katrina, we kind of, wait with bated breath to see what's coming, and it's been very quiet. Nothing's hit shore in the U.S. this year. And then I got an email from Alberto raising his hand saying, well, that's because we've got a machine down here now that's keeping them off.
If you look at the whole world on one of these weather websites, a good one is the NRL Monterey satellite photos. You can bring that up. Monterey is spelled N with one R, not two R's. And up comes a weather thing where you can see the world all the way around laid out flat. And when you look at that thing, Alberto has basically removed all of the weather from Hawaii all the way to Tibet. No. There should be storms in this band, and they're gone. And along with them went the hurricanes. So, plus, along with them went some of the rain that should have happened, fortunately. But we have a plan. We're going to deploy more machines where they're needed to make the rain we need. And this is the upcoming objectives of the Weather Rangers, to get machines where the rain is needed. And how we do it, I guess, is just my crystal ball doesn't work, so we'll have to wait and see how it happens. But the objective is clear. Stop the bad weather and make it rain where you need it.
How many people do you have actively involved right now in your discussion so that, as you say, you know, we've got a storm arising over here. What can we do about moving it or diminishing its strength? How many people would you say are active besides the
right
two
now,
of you?
Probably only three or four machines are active. Alberto's putting on such a good show that I think everybody pretty much shut down just to watch what he's doing. It's amazing the effect that just one single machine can have on things. Yeah. It was like Marconi when he first invented the wireless. It was possible to send a message to anybody in the world, but after everybody got one, then it didn't work so good. So they had to reduce the power to even use the thing.
You get interference patterns between the different machines, and so they had to tone things down.
That's a good thing. You can, in time to come, we will develop this to such a high degree that we will plant two machines down and target a drop of rain on a certain spot. We'll make the waves interfere. We'll know the range of the machine. We'll know exactly where to put them. And down will come rain on a reservoir if you want, or, you know, we'll directly fill the reservoir. It's possible to generate real heavy rains with these things. And they, the heavy rains are going to fall right on the interference zones. And if you know where they are, then you can.
The show is being broadcast out of Phoenix, and the listeners down there may be interested to know, back in your earlier days when you were still tinkering around and learning the effects of these things, kind of learning the highs and the lows, you accidentally brought a major hailstorm into the Flagstaff area. Huge hailstorms.
When I went to Sedona, which is where it all originates, there's a vortex in Sedona, and that thing is actually the source of all the weather in the world. When you look at the globe, you can identify weather patterns that are traceable to Sedona, and these include the annual typhoon that starts on the northwest corner of Australia that travels up to Bangladesh. If you draw a straight line from Sedona through the world and go to the moon in November, you'll find that it passes through that storm. And as the moon moves around the world, you find that each day it moves the track until it takes it to Bangladesh. So here we have evidence that the Sedona vortex and the moon is actually controlling the location of a typhoon that's clearing the southern hemisphere on the other side of the world. This force goes right through the world. It doesn't go around the world. And it's what drives the big storms, like F5 tornadoes. And once per day, you'll find a straight line from Sedona going through a hurricane, especially if it's anywhere near the United States, like in the vicinity of Florida or something like that. When they first start, it's actually a Y-shaped vector from the sun and the moon. Both bodies create the storm when the moon is in the first quarter. And when it moves around to new moon, then you wind up the thing transitions from the sun's field over to the moon's field, and from then on the track is absolutely predictable because it goes where the moon tells it to go. And now we can tell by using this technique, now that we know that the storm is actually chasing a spot that's created by a line between the sun and the moon, or the sun and the earth and the moon from Sedona, I meant Sedona and the moon. Okay, the line has to go through the storm every day, just once, and that line moves over as the moon moves over, so now we know where the storm is going to go. So you can also, now that we know where it's supposed to go, we can tell if we changed its track. And yes, you can change their track by running a machine at a different spot, so like in Puerto Rico or maybe in Iowa, we move the location where the storm belongs. And with Alberto's machine, he can intercept the storm before it even gets to the United States. It turns and goes up into the ocean long before it even gets to Puerto Rico. And in the old days, Arizona would turn the storm and bring it up on this similar track, except that it would come through the United States and wreck everything. So now we have a means of turning them before they even get here.
And in terms of the commentary of the weather services and whatnot, what are they saying about this year's quietness in hurricanes?
They're pretty much ignoring it. I found very few things referring to the quietness being unusual. They say there's an El Nino and we're not going to get any storms, and this would be completely normal. But the only thing is we planned this before this year started, and it's all documented by Alberto's work. Alberto documented stuff as to what he was doing. And in the early days, I feared repression by the men in black or whatever, so I didn't document anything. And I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but we wanted to study the thing for quite some time and find out just what it was all about before we let anybody know what we were doing. And once we found out that it would be useless as a terrorist weapon if everybody had one, then we figured, okay, let the world know about it, because the world needs it really bad. You know, there's people dying annually by the thousands due to bad weather, and there's stuff to be prevented. But
we were starting to talk about this hailstorm in Flagstaff in the Sedona area. You came down into the Sedona area.
Yeah, I went on a trip to Arizona. We had a family reunion out there, and I went out to the lodge, and we had a little dog with us, and they wouldn't let us stay in the lodge, so we went to a campsite in Sedona, and that's how I wound up in Sedona. If it wouldn't have been for the dog, I would have never went to Sedona, never would have found the place. But it's like leading a charmed life, I guess. But we got down there, and I noted the machine had more radiation coming off from it than normal. When you'd walk up to it, it'd feel like you're walking up to the engine of a car that shut off on a hot day. When you walk up to it, you'd feel the heat coming off from it. When you walk up to the machine, you would feel the heat coming off the, or actually it's energy that feels like sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And we went downtown trinket shopping, got into one of these souvenir shops, and here's a display rack all full of Indian jewelry. Lots of silver in here, probably 10, 15 pounds of silver in there.
1 minute.
Okay, walked up the thing, and here's all this heat coming off of that. And I asked the guy there, what is this stuff? And he said, it's focal point energy. He said, it's all over the place. He said, you go down to the brochure rack and pick up a brochure, it'll tell you all about it. And that's how I found the vortex. We took the machine up to the vortex, started it up, and cleared the sky. And we turned it around, made a big storm, and 7 inches of hail fell down in Flagstaff.
Okay. Ouch. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Weather Rangers and what they're up to.
Since 1980, Information Methods Incorporated has been a leader in technology consulting. The management experience of IMI's Prime Consultants and Associates includes years of expertise in both public and private sectors. From assigning a project management officer to a complete end-of-project postmortem, IMI applies industry standards and our own custom methodologies to ensure your next technology project is a success. For details and example solutions, visit www.imi-us.com. We measure our success by your success. Your partner, IMI.
If you're like many of the investors we've been talking with, you're mad and you're confused. A bailout for the banks, a bailout for the auto industry, bailout for everybody. Great, but who's bailing out your investment portfolio, your IRA, or your mutual fund accounts? Well, maybe we can help with that. At WealthPro Financial, we offer a wide range of ideas and strategies, and we do it based on your specific situation. Please give us a call at 480-275-5208 and find out how we might be able to help you. Again, call 480-275-5208. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Somebody's got to say it. That's why Neil Bortz is on the radio.
I do have some hate mail, though. I'm getting tired of your Christian bashing. You seem to take great joy in slamming Christians at every opportunity. I'm frankly tired of it. Listen, is it Christian bashing to note that the most evil, nasty, wicked, vicious emails I get are from people who brag about what great Christians they are? Is that Christian bashing?
The Neil Bortz Show. Weekdays at 10 a.m. on KFNX.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842. 3842.
Free energy now.
Who are you going to call when you have a nasty, persistent drought? David Wells weather modification researchers have been fine-tuning their skills. Alberto Feliciano is also with us tonight. He's down in Puerto Rico, appears to have been able to dissolve this season's tropical and hurricane storms, including Anna, Erica, and Bill. The recent focus has been restoring rain in Texas. Perhaps a bit too much. They got a little bit of some storms down there. We were talking just before we went to break about how in the earlier days when they were first learning how to do this thing, they accidentally seemed to have brought 7 inches of hail to Flagstaff. They were down in Sedona and didn't realize the power of this thing. So you've learned a few things over the years. You've been able to get interference patterns up, keep tornadoes from forming. Let's talk for a second. It seems really unusual that somebody with a $200 machine could be turning away hurricanes. Why is that?
What do you think, Alberto? Are you on there?
Yeah, well, I think that it has a lot to do with the way it's put together. The coil seems to resemble some of Tesla's early experiments. And if you read any of Tesla, you know that he was into transmitting electricity through the air. And I think that this little machine here is probably a close cousin to Tesla's technology.
I think there's a little bit of John Hutchison's technology in here too. John Hutchison is a guy from Vancouver, Canada, and he's able to levitate objects by realigning their molecules somehow or the other when they actually go anti-gravity. Well, a while back I read a thing about the water molecule. It's like a dipole, which is a compass needle in effect, has a north and south pole. It has polarity because the oxygen side is negative and the hydrogen side is positive because the hydrogen atoms are not just anywhere around that oxygen atom. They're at exactly 104-degree angle to the oxygen. So that gives the thing a polarity thing. And probably what happens is water being 1,000 times heavier than air, somehow millions of tons of it stay up in clouds and they don't fall down on the ground. The reason for this is probably the field of some sort, like the thing from Sedona or who knows where, aligns the things to become anti-gravity and repel the Earth's gravitational field, and they just float up there, sort of like the lifter technology, which will take a fairly large object and make it lift right off the floor, and it technically flies with a force that's not known. They don't really know what the force is. It could be moving air or coming off a point. You can have air moving at high speed. So this is maybe where the lifter gets its thrust, but maybe it does the same thing with the water molecule. Maybe it moves air off the top of it, pushes it on underneath it, and it literally flies. But when we run the weather machine, we're sending a signal to this water molecule. Actually, all of them, every one of them gets this radio-type signal, and it flips the polarity. It'll turn it upside down and falls down on the ground, if you want, and makes it rain. Or you can flip it sideways and make the storm move. We can actually reconfigure a hurricane with this technique. We can just push sideways on it, and instead of being a donut with a hole in the middle of it, the storm will become a a big storm like the letter D, all the storm moves over to one side of the hurricane. And Harold Berger will testify to this. You could push all that water right off the storm. It's absolutely amazing, and it doesn't take very long either.
Yeah, I tell you what, regardless of how it works, I'm not sure how it works, but I know that it has a tremendous power, tremendous force. It can, and by working out here in the middle of the Caribbean, I've been able to watch it do things that we hadn't seen these machines do before. David has all these years of experience with machines, but my location makes it especially easy to see what it's doing around me. So I've noticed that, first of all, we found out that there are more than just one line of force. It just doesn't push. It has a tremendous ability to push and to pull air from different areas. It can remove rain or attract rain because it can. I've noticed that it works with the wind more than any. That's my experience over here. I know Dave says about the rings, but my experience over here is it's all about the wind. If I face it towards the wind, if the wind changes, I'm in trouble. I have to follow the wind. If, let's say, the wind is coming from the east, I have to face the machine east for it to clear the sky. I've had the experience where they forecasted flash floods. So I face the machine towards the east, and there are no floods. All of a sudden, it starts getting rainy, and I check to see on the computer to see where, and sure enough, the wind has shifted. So then I shift the machine over towards the wind again, and that takes care of it. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. I can pull, if I pull air from a colder latitude, and it has a reach of thousands of miles, I can pull air from the cold area, and when it gets here, it makes a lot of rain. Or I can send warm air up to the colder areas, and when it gets there, it's going to create a lot of rain. The explanation that the National Weather Service gave as to why these storms had broken up all of a sudden, and there was it was the wind shear. We got some unexpected wind shear, and it dissolved the storm. Well, that was us. This machine pushes the air at a very high level. I mean, thousands of feet up in the sky. And it brings it down into the storm. It's amazing. It's just fascinating to watch this thing work. Knowing that you are at the driver's seat and what you're doing, you say, okay, I'm going to expect this. And half an hour later, when you check it on the computer, on your satellite websites, you see it happening. It's just wonderful.
Now, I notice you're talking about different voltages and turning the voltages up and down, whether you're doing...
Yeah, we got over the bad moon days, how I called them, because twice during the month, the machine would lose power. And we were helpless against these hurricanes coming our way. When Bill came around, we hadn't figured it out yet. And even then, we could push it away a little bit as it got closer to me here. But after that, I said, okay, wait a minute. There's got to be a trick to this. And we found it. We played around with the voltage a little bit, and it got a whole lot more power. Even in the bad moon days now, it works wonderfully.
Speaking of power, not to butt in here, but Alberto built a very powerful machine. The machines that I was working with prior to his were probably half to one-fourth as powerful. I used smaller magnets and smaller coils. He used a bigger coil, big magnets, because he said he didn't want to get stomped on by any more hurricanes. He was going to build a hurricane killer, and he did. Killing them. Go ahead, Alberto.
Well, and it's amazing. If you could see this machine, you would laugh at it because it's just made of boards and aluminum foil, and it's got a clothespin holding something there, and it's got a rubber band over here, and wires jumping out of it all over the place. It's just funny. But it does such a wonderful job. And it's a low budget, but it just works wonderful.
Now, you were telling me about some local effects that you were doing about a week ago when I was talking to you, Alberto. Maybe you can describe that for a minute.
Local effects, you mean as
in Puerto Rico.
Eliminating the rain and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we had a flash flood warning. And everybody, let me tell you about this really big cloud that formed right south of Puerto Rico. I mean, it was a huge cloud, about 600 miles across. And it started spinning really fast. And it just, you could see on the radar how it would get higher and higher and higher. It was starting to form into a funnel. And I said, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I've never dealt with this before. And this close. When they're at a distance, it's easier because you just aim what I call the yellow line. You see, David draws a black line on the machine, which is the way that we call that the machine is running. But I have found that there are three other lines of force coming out of this machine, and they all have different properties. The one that I use the most, I can knock out a depression when it's still coming off the coast of Africa with this. I just have to aim it properly, and I can either push at it or pull at it. And, well, what I did with this big, huge cloud was I said, well, let me place it so that the yellow line, the force that's leaving, is pushing against the outer edges of this cloud.
We're going to have to finish that thought when we come back from break at the bottom of the hour.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100KFNX.com. KFNX.com.
CNN Radio, I'm April Williams. Neighborhoods west of Atlanta, Georgia are underwater tonight.
It's mind-boggling. It really is. I've never seen this like this.
That woman lives in the small town of Austell. Meanwhile, in Cobb County, fire officials weren't able to extinguish a blaze because of the flooding.
The house was totally destroyed. We eventually had to evacuate the area ourselves and just basically let the house continue to burn.
Cobb County Fire Lieutenant Dan Dupree. Governor Sonny Perdue issued a state of emergency for 17 Georgia counties. There's news on pediatric trials of swine flu vaccine. Doctors say kids between 10 to 17 years old only need one dose, while children 6 months to 9 years may need two, depending on their health history. There are already 62,000 U.S. troops fighting insurgents in Afghanistan, but America's top commander there says more are needed in the next 12 months or the war will be a failure. This comes after Defense Secretary Robert Gates asked for more troops as well. This is CNN Radio.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Today will be our warmest this week. Now we're going to cool off nicely tomorrow through Friday, about 100 Tuesday afternoon. Then breezy and cooler Wednesday through Friday, only mid to upper 90s. Overnight lows mid-70s. Jim Howell, KFNX Tuesday Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 95 degrees.
The Lars Larson Show, right on the left coast.
In the last 7 days, I've seen something absolutely amazing. The White House had to fire a guy. That was Van Jones because of his connection to ridiculous organizations like the 9/11 Truthers. They finally realized you couldn't have a nut working at the White House. Last Friday night, the White House had to cut all of its ties to the Acorn Group that was going to do a good part of our census work. And the good guys do win some of the time.
Late nights on KFNX.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Visit dancewithchad.com today and choose the dance class that best suits your lifestyle. Chad offers community group class instruction or private instruction, coaching with some of the world's top dancers and dance instructors.
Have a corporate event coming up?
We offer dance demonstrations and workshops, events for singles, couples, and youth. Visit our website today to learn more about our youth dance program, including a number of up-and-coming youth dance competitors. Log on today. That's dancewithchad.com.
Gonna make a change in some lives today.
ready now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations, that's for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
We are talking tonight to the Weather Rangers, David Wells and Alberto Feliciano. He's a newcomer to the Weather Rangers crew recently down in Puerto Rico. And before we went to break, we were talking about a situation where you had a huge storm that was developing over Puerto Rico, this big vortex that was forming, and a storm warning that was issued, a flash flood warning, and what did you do?
Well, we were braced for the worst because it was a pretty large storm. And what I did was I aimed the machine to skim the upper part of that spinning cloud because I figured that was bad news. You know, I didn't want it leaving the area turning into a storm up further up going towards the States. So after I said it, I let the machine run for only an hour, because this thing is so powerful that you have to limit the amount you run it in any direction, because you can get too much of a good thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can be bad. So what we did was I just let it, and then I turned it off, and I saw that the cloud had stopped spinning. So then I checked it an hour later, and sure enough, it had reduced in size so much it was funny. It was amazing. And immediately the weather people came on TV and radio, and they said, oh, well, you know what, we're not going to have any flash floods at all. The storm has dissipated. But they wouldn't say why. They gave no explanation. But the next morning, the storm started spinning again. It wanted to gain strength again, so I just aimed it again and left it on this time for half an hour. The darn thing just stopped spinning and dissipated completely.
Oh.
See, ever since we got this machine down here, ever since I built it, the weather people are having a difficult time forecasting weather. I had to call one of them. Well, I didn't call them. I sent her an email. I said, she was fretting. She was going, I don't know how to explain this. This has never happened before. I don't know. This is not supposed to happen. I sent her an email with our weather ranger's address. Says, why don't you check this out? This is what's happening. And the weather report just the other day read something like this. It said, today's going to be a very hot day unless it cools down, and it's going to rain unless it doesn't. So they're pretty much confused down here. They don't know what's going on, and it's us.
Well, I've got to, you know, as we were listening to the weather at the bottom of the hour there,
yes.
The Phoenix area, I couldn't help but come up with the following scenario. Okay, we've got, it sounds like fairly typical seasonal weather that they've got there, nothing, no big storms or anything like that going on. I'm curious if you guys from your distance, see, David, you're up there in Iowa, and Alberto, you're down there in Puerto Rico. Is Arizona too far away for you guys to maybe bring in or maybe make something go away that was forecasted?
We can help. You see,
the guy to call on there would be in Fort Collins. Scott Stevens has a weather machine now, and
mm-hmm.
I took it out to him probably a month ago, and that was an interesting trip. I found that, well, I ran a machine going out there because I'm on my way to Colorado from Iowa, and I'm driving down Interstate 80, and the machine has a charge in it that stays with it even though it isn't running. When you shut it off, you're still charged. It's sort of like you run your comb through your hair, and it'll pick up bits of paper. The charge doesn't dissipate immediately. Mm-hmm. I'm driving along, and I see a cloud pop off to my right and another one off to my left. I look in a rearview mirror, and I see a whole trail of clouds coming along behind me. I'm thinking, I can make this thing make rain. Well, I wasn't going to buy batteries, but my curiosity overwhelmed me, so I pulled in and bought batteries, and I hooked it up and ran it while I'm driving down the road. I didn't make it 25 miles, and I'm driving through rain. I can't see where I'm going. And I got off to Scott's, and I'm making rain all the way there. And I finally just shut it off, and I got up to Scott's and delivered the machine, and we played around with it a little bit. And interestingly, we were there no more than, I was only at his place probably not even an hour, and here comes a big Chinook helicopter flying over. We didn't know whether this was coincidence. I think it was coincidence, but Scott swore him down. The men in black are after it. But when I left there, the strangest thing happened. I drove up to Cheyenne. It's headed east on Interstate 80, and the charge that's in the car was manufacturing a cloud, which followed along the car on the north side of the interstate. The cloud was up to my left, and just behind the car, the front of it looked like an arrowhead, and the back of it looked like cotton balls. It was about a mile long. This cloud followed me all the way from about 25 miles east of Cheyenne all the way to Lincoln, Nebraska. This is a long ways for a cloud to follow a car at 70 miles an hour. You know, you have to be there to see this stuff to believe it. And mm-hmm. Alberto has seen stuff no one else has seen, and so have I. So there's a thing about the force that anybody who's a non-believer can try, and this will make a believer out of them. You light a candle.
What kind of things could you do with the weather in Arizona to kind of, for the people that might be tuned in listening to the show tonight, they could say, hey, I remember those guys saying that they were going to do such and such, and lo and behold, there it is. What, is there something you could do along those lines?
Well, you could request out of the audience? Seth Stevens, and he could probably get it for you in Arizona. He has a pretty powerful machine.
Is he practiced enough with his thing, and is he willing to do something like that?
Yeah, we can help, definitely, because all you have to do is just make a bring in either cold air or send hot air to a colder place, and the difference in the temperatures of the air is going to create rain. And you can do this. You have to do this with a tablespoon. I mean, with a teaspoonful. I did.
You don't want to overdo it. You can create floods.
Yeah. You give it too much, and then there's no way of stopping. You have to reverse the whole process. Like right now, what's happening over there with these floods? That if we had someone on watch, someone whose job was to be watching the weather for severe problems like that one, that could have been avoided, because we can pull the low pressure out of there, as well as we can send rain, we can also pull it out. Now, we've been doing a lot of discoveries, and that's because of this machine down in Puerto Rico, because I'm here in the middle of the Caribbean, and I can observe and watch easier and better, and there's no other machines around. We've been learning a lot, and this can be I'm going to set up the machine in a few minutes to help these floods that are going on over there.
Yeah, I remember catching something about the floods, but I didn't catch where that was.
There was one in Georgia.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the zones where the rain is a little too heavy. And
yeah.
There's actually a machine in Florida, and he could probably correct that.
I'm here, yeah.
Alan?
Uh-huh.
We have a call in?
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, we've got a call in. I'm sorry, I didn't catch what was going on. We have a caller with a question from Alan from Las Vegas. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, I was just calling about the situation in Georgia, and I had turned down my speaker so I wouldn't be interfering. And I hear... When I just got on, I heard you guys are talking about it. So that was my idea, was what's going on in Atlanta there.
Well, it's a big storm moving through the country, and it may be being what we call zones, where the wave interference over one spot dumps an awful lot of rain as the storm moves through. The weather people call it training, And I call it wave interference. If you got a couple machines running, there's actually a machine running. It will produce a zone of wave interference between the Sedona vortex and the machine. And on this spot, you could get, 10 or 15 inches of rain. And this has happened numerous times. And you have to move your machine to stop this. Well, if you can find out it's happening, and this is one of our problems, we have insufficient information to be aware of these things as they pop up. We're working on getting better information, and that's what the World Weather Rangers goal is to run these things intelligently. We don't want to goof anything up, but actually Mother Nature will goof things up all by herself. She will rip and destroy the whole country, and tornadoes and hurricanes will take their toll, and high winds and all these things, Santa Ana's, all this stuff is driven by these forces that we're trying to tap into and control now.
Weather Rangers are trying to do, is that we're trying to get machines into all the states, everywhere. You see, with a machine there, they could have taken care of this as soon as it started. It could have eliminated those rain clouds and just get some, make it less.
A nice gentle rain instead of a violent storm. That's what we want, yeah.
It sounds almost like it's easier to deal with things when they're a little further away as they're coming your way. And so a guy in Texas, for example, could maybe help something that is heading over to Georgia, for example, or vice versa.
Depends on the power level of the machine. If you have a very powerful machine,
exactly,
that reaches out a long ways. And if you have a low-powered machine, like I've got one that's the size of a pound of butter, and it only controls about 40 miles, and it's real easy to tell what that one does. You can look at your local radar, and you can see everything it does, and it doesn't do hardly anything any further away than that. And we should have everybody have one of those and then a big, powerful one,
exactly,
there to take care of the bad stuff.
My idea is that, and I'm sure, I think Dave shares this idea, is that we should get the weather people involved in this. We should train them to use these machines. Each weather observation post should have one or two of these machines and people that know how to operate them. They are one of the best people to control and run these machines because they understand the weather better than most people do. So they could create rain where it's needed, and they could eliminate the rain clouds from the places where there's been already too much rain.
Have you had much luck approaching them and talking to them about doing that?
I tried years back. I took it to Norman, Oklahoma, to the Severe Storm Prediction Lab, and they threw me out like and said I was a crank, and they wouldn't even talk to me. Mm-hmm. I called the Weather Channel about 15 or 20 times, and they wouldn't even talk to me after a while. I called NASA. I wanted to know if they wanted one of these so they could bring the space shuttle down without having to haul it all the way across the country. They could have cleared the runway and brought it in anytime they want with one of these things. It's that powerful, but no one seemed to believe that it works.
Well,
and all we're doing is something that's so grandiose that I think they're going to wake up and realize, yeah, there is something happening.
Yeah, maybe now that they have some proof that somebody's messing with the weather down here in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
That even the smallest clouds, I won't even forgive a depression. Depression shows up, I eliminate it. I won't give it a chance to form into a hurricane at all.
If anybody objects to what you're doing and you stop, the hurricanes will come back with a vengeance.
That's right.
They could even be worse than ever because they've been saved up. You have to keep going now. We're committed here.
Well, you see, the problem, for example, some people say, but we need hurricanes because hurricanes cool the oceans. Well, we can, with this technology, cool the oceans too, because all you need to cool the ocean is
the air.
What we need is that long column, these thunderclouds. If you make enough of these thunderclouds all over the place, these thunderclouds reach almost out into space, and some of these clouds are minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit. So when that rain comes down, it cools everything.
We may be cooling the oceans, too, in a way that we don't even realize, because I notice my refrigerator will freeze everything solid from time to time. It cools down to temperatures far below what it's set at. And it does this by causing the object inside the box, the radio waves with energy, and they can't get it back. And then the refrigerator cools below normal. It doesn't even run, and it makes very cold ice. I call it super ice, because if you take a chunk of it and put it on a plate, it won't melt as fast as another piece of ice.
Well, I haven't had that experience. It's probably because I have mine hooked up a little bit differently than you do yours.
The refrigerator has to be in the right spot. It has to be like, in this area, it has to be on the northwest corner where the scene is, and there's a zone there where it will cause this to happen. And it only happens in certain spots where the waves interfere. But there's other oddities of science doing this thing, too.
Okay, we've got a break coming in here.
Talk about it later.
When we come back, we'll talk more about how you can get involved in the weather ranges if you want to.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842. 3842.
Rahm Emanuel wants to be House Speaker someday. He believes that he can outdo all the successes of Nancy Pelosi in that role. I think this is time for Nancy just to warm the gavel up.
Let's step back, call a halt, and put this in perspective.
This is how the Democrats think. This is all their personal political playground. I call it. I'm calling that shovel. That's mine.
The Laura Ingraham Show. Your healthy radio addiction. Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Free energy. Now.
Sterling Allen coming back at you from the Free Energy Now radio show. You're talking tonight to David Wells and Alberto Feliciano, the Weather Rangers. I know this sounds totally, the believability on this is really low, but, you know, you look at the cause and effect thing here, and you look at, you know, the big guys, the black ops, they've got the ability to control jet streams and weather and the HAARP and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Tesla had technology with whatnot, with resonance and whatnot, where you can interface with weather patterns. And so, you know, why not have a very simple device that could involve and have the power to the people to be able to, you know, we live in very enlightened times, and so why not? So I don't have a hard time believing this kind of stuff. Obviously, I've got these guys on the show. This is the second time I've had David on the show. And so, you know, let's play with this. Let's see what we can do. Let's get some other people with these machines and really document some cause and effect. We were talking earlier about, you know, what could we do to convince the people in the Arizona area that are listening to this, that hear this and go, you know, maybe something that you could say, you know, here's what the weather report said was going to happen. We're going to change it. We're going to do this instead. What could we do something along those lines?
Well, whatever we do, it has to be done cautiously. We don't want to repeat what happened in Texas. We have to do this 10 minutes at a time, half an hour at a time at the most. And when I say at the, I'm talking about changing the temperature of the air in that state. When you bring down colder air from a colder latitude into Arizona, it's going to create rain. It's going to create lots of rain if you bring in too much. It might cause flood, so we have to be careful about that.
Mm-hmm. So when doing a weather experiment, you should keep an eye on the radar. And the faster the radar works, the better, because the stuff can change in a hurry when you run these things.
Yes.
As far as something to convince people this is real, they can locate Sedona, Arizona, use a world globe, and find the exact angle to it. And then light a blowtorch or a flame of some sort. A candle works for a lot of people. And look between the candle and Arizona. It goes right straight through the world, not around it. you will find a beam of what feels like sunlight. And this is a very curious thing. You hold your hand in and your hand warms as if the sun's shining on it. You take your hand out of the beam and it's gone. It's pretty subtle, but definitely there. About half the people can't feel it. If you can't feel it yourself, get somebody you can trust and have them feel it. And they'll say, yeah, it's there. And you can call them a liar all you want, but it's there. Anyway,
you know, for some reason, I can't feel that flame force, but I can feel the heat emanating from the machine. And it's not that it runs hot. It doesn't run hot at all. It's very cold. You can touch it, and it's cold.
Yeah.
But the energy coming out from that machine, you can feel, it feels like you're in the sun.
Right. And if you take a flame and light it and go away from the machine, then between the machine and the flame, you'll find a beam of sunlight.
Well, I've tried that, and I can't feel it for some reason.
Maybe you're right on a vortex.
That could be.
That's why your machine is so effective. You could be. You're in the devil's triangle, so it could be you're on the corner of it or something. And that's maybe what's doing it, but there are certain areas of the world where this works better than it does in other areas. There's a lot of information on this ley lines and grid points and things like that. And it probably all ties into what we're doing here. But the force is something that feels like sunlight, and a machine makes it, and Arizona makes it also. So it's not a death ray. This is something natural. It's been here forever. The machine just duplicates what comes out of Arizona in a different spot. And because it's a different spot, now we're reconfiguring what's going to happen in the world. So we have the opportunity now to terraform the world, borrowing a term from Star Trek, where they come onto a planet and they use this machine that goes on there and creates rain and everything becomes habitable, and they call it terraforming. Well, now we can actually terraform the world, transform deserts into plowed fields and stuff like that. But the technique has been discovered. What we do with it is up to all the people coming behind us, you know. In time to come, this will be a pretty amazing science. I think it's going to be well developed and well used. The horrible thing would be if somebody locked it down and weaponized it. That's why we're telling everybody about it, because this prevents it being weaponized.
Yeah, you don't want to see this technology absconded and used by the black ops to become a weapon against, you know, a weapon.
Well, it's too late for that. Too many people have the plans how to build it. And they have our help. And there's already a lot of tinkerers out there who have them put together. So a lot of
this
more comes to remain anonymous.
It's pretty easy for people to build and to learn how to use. Do they need to have a natural or a ability to understand the weather enough so that they're not messing things up badly?
Well, they'll get it from experience, unfortunately. We wish we were up to the level of training. We should. One day, we will have basic training, basic weather machine training, but we're not at that level yet.
Mm-hmm. So somebody wants to get
involved.
People coming
on board that are going to get us this. I'm sure of it. There's people signing up to the Weather Rangers daily almost, and some of these people are pretty top drawer. They're going to help us, and we'll get this together. It's going to be a team effort. It's going to take a lot of people. This is not some simple thing that two or three people can do. This is something that's going to require probably as many people as there are weathermen.
Yes,
weathermen.
I agree.
It's going to be a big job, but it will make the world a safer, better place. There'll be less deaths from damage.
No more deserts.
Well, I don't know.
A wonderful thing. No more storms.
We may want to keep the deserts as national treasures or something, but I think we have to.
You leave it in the local vote. Do you want to keep your desert or not? Well,
yeah.
People want to get involved in the Weather Rangers. They go to weatherrangers.org, and presently that redirects to our Pez Wiki website, where you can find the contact information, a little blurb about who these guys are, what they're doing, how you can get involved. Get a weather machine yourself, tune it up, and get some instruction from those that know what they're doing, David and Alberto and others who've been involved in this a little bit longer than you. And you can also donate if these guys have been able to bring some rain to a drought-stricken area and you feel like they've actually been able to do that. Give them a donation. You can do that
There's some tax-free ways to do that, or you can do it, if you're not worried about tax-free, just send them a donation and help them expand this network. Any other comments you want to make in the last minute before this show's over?
If you feel, if you live along the coast and you feel like you were saved from a hurricane, if you're, yeah, send us some money. We'll do it again next year. But, like I said, the people don't even know they've been helped, so they probably won't send us any money.
You guys down in Texas that have been getting some rain lately because Alberto's been sending it your way. You know, they're saying that that's El Nino and whatnot, and natural weather patterns, naturally the time of year they usually get weather. They haven't in the last couple of years. That's why they've been having drought. But if you feel like these guys have been helping out, send them a donation.
Yeah, we've been watching out for them every week now.
We have operators lined up in Texas to run machines that are going to come online and have these things very shortly. So the weather in Texas will probably get a lot better pretty soon. They're being built, being shipped out. Australia's going to get them. Hong Kong's going to get them. The Netherlands is going to get them. And South Africa will get one.
Now. Well, thanks, David and Alberto. We got to go.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Sterling.
Past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net. And join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's PESWIKI.